T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas. Online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How do you feel about Memorial Day? Where does it rank in your holiday pantheon?
I mean, pretty high. We remember our fallen ones that have upheld our right for freedom. I mean, pretty high.
Okay, so that
and we get a day off.
You, by the way, good for you that you went to the real meaning of Memorial Day, because when I was talking about it on my show today, I skipped right over that and just discussed the logistical pleasures of Memorial Day. So I applaud you for remembering why Memorial Day is important.
Yes.
Now, let's set that aside. ranked, like when I was talking about Christmas, I wasn't talking about the Lord's birth. I was really just talking about Christmas, the season, et cetera. So I think we can agree that Christmas and Thanksgiving, unless you counter-object, I think we can agree that those are the best.
Yes, I'll give you that. Yes,
I'm gonna make it big Halloween guy.
Big Halloween.
Is it even a holiday?
I see. I'm not a Halloween guy. I'm past my dress-up days. You know.
Yeah, no, I'm not a Halloween guy either. But
I'm more of a nerd.
Is it even a holiday or is it just an occasion? Like, we don't get Halloween off, do we?
No. But
one of the big drawbacks of Halloween, by the way, like one of those.
So when you were discussing Memorial Day, it was about getting a day off.
It's about everything that goes into whether you look forward to and appreciate that holiday selfishly, right? And so I really am glad that you brought up the real meaning of Memorial Day. That's important, right? But I'm just talking about the other stuff, like Easter. Easter has a real meaning. It's the essence of the Christian faith. But when I'm talking about Easter for this purpose, ranking it as a holiday, what I'm talking about is, how do you feel about going to church, eating ham, and not necessarily even getting a day off and wearing a hat or whatever you do on a hunt for candy versus, say, July 4th, which is, you know, you're going to get this week, July 4th is on a Tuesday. So presumably you're going to get that Monday off. You're going to basically a 4-day weekend for July 4th. It's going to be freaking glorious. And so if I'm ranking holidays, just for me personally, not because of the liturgical meaning, but July 4th ranks well ahead of Easter.
Okay. All right.
And my larger point is that I think Memorial Day is sneakily one of the greats.
Yes.
It's one of the greats.
Yes.
Because of where it falls in the calendar. It's the, like, I actually think it's as good or better than July 4th, because you get the 3-day weekend, you get the summer extravaganza, you get the backyard cookouts or barbecues or whatever you want to call them. You got, maybe you're going to the beach, maybe, but it has the advantage that it's the first. It like everything is opening. It like summer. I know it's not the official start of summer, but it's the unofficial start of summer. It is the beginning of that glorious stretch that is summer, and it's usually a little cooler than July 4th. Usually the bugs aren't so bad as July 4th. And you don't have fireworks to scare the hell out of the dogs. I think it's a better July 4th than what it is.
Yeah, it's still dogs, burgers, Lee Greenwood, and a day off. I hear you. I completely understand.
Without the actual fireworks so your dogs are cowering under the bed.
Yeah.
It's dramatically better.
Yeah. And I will say, you're here from the same area in East Memphis, the fireworks are they go way too late. It's just, it's all.
Well, you don't have to. I don't even think there's any area in Memphis. Well, I don't think that's specific to any area. I think generally they go way too late, and that's an old man complaint, whatever else. But
well, I mean, it's a difference between like 4 a.m. and 1 a.m. I can deal. Like if you're up until midnight,
true.
1 a.m. lighting them off.
Know,
that's
what
cool.
area would you be in? Maybe if you're in Collierville.
Collierville, and I think there's some parts of East Memphis like you.
Bill, where you don't get.
Yeah, I mean, like
funny, so
Cross Poplar, right?
I was, and then. Once you're in Memphis, we get to this point where it's can you distinguish between fireworks and gunshots? And my running group the other day, I was talking to some guy, and he says, "Oh yeah, he can distinguish between handgun shots and automatic, you know, like semi-automatic weapon shots, like." He's like, oh, that's whatever. Like he's getting to be an aficionado on the, and I, to me, it's bang, bang, bang. I can barely distinguish between a car backfiring and fireworks and gunshots, but I hear it every night, you know, so pretty much where we live in East Memphis, I hear a lot of gunshots or fireworks, but
fireworks it's well paced. You understand the pace. A gunshot is pretty obvious. If it's just one after the other, fireworks don't fire.
Did you see, by the way, I didn't see this in time. I did not see this in time to talk about it on my show. But Richard, did you see the video of the people in Whitehaven hitting the deck when there was a drive-by shooting?
Oh, yes. They were on Fox. Were they on Fox News?
How did I miss it?
I saw that.
It evidently went national, and I literally was talking to someone today. I said, "See, we made the national news again today."
And then I should not say I got a kick out of it. I shouldn't, but I did.
Oh, no,
I'm
it was
sorry.
The best. I mean,
she
it was
popped
the best
up
thing
and
ever.
She goes, like, "All right, we're good," and she gets right back on camera.
here they are. They're out in Whitehaven, and they're doing a shoot about. Anti-crime, whatever.
Yes.
How are you gonna stay safe, whatever else. The next thing you know, it's 11 in the morning. Gunshots ring out. They hit the deck. You hear, I think her name is Yolanda.
Yeah.
You hear her saying, "Stay down, get down, and stay down." And then she's saying, you know, Jesus. She starts praying, like, but in a totally calm way. You can actually hear the TV crew hyperventilating if you listen carefully.
Yep.
And then she's like, "Okay, we're clear now." And she asks
so calmly. She goes, "Drive by? Question mark? Drive by?"
It's as if you are in a battlefield with someone who like knows what mortars sound like and what you know. They've been doing a million times. You just hit the deck, whatever else. Because she lives where she lives.
It's a damn shame, though. I gotta say,
it's an extraordinary.
Shame.
Oh no, it's awful.
But yes,
it's awful. It's an extraordinary piece of video.
Yes. It is the
and
calm.
The fact that someone is that familiar with what you do in a drive by at 11 in the morning is certainly its own commentary.
Yeah, hopping up and we're good. We're good. She gets right back on camera. Didn't even skip a beat.
You couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a Fox News deal, wasn't it? I think it was. And that's where I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah. I saw Richard Ransom narrating it, so
yeah.
that's where I did see it. And but anyway, yeah, that was extraordinary. And it feels to me like I probably go to Memorial Day because there are certain days that feel like other days. Today feels like Friday to me. Like I'm kind of there. I'll be honest. And it's kind of hard for me to get my mind around the fact that tomorrow is still Friday. And I think a lot of people have, like, whatever. I think they're kicking back. They've left town. They're doing whatever they're doing. That's the sense I get.
Yeah, before we get to the extended weekend, and before we get to sports talk here, I want to ask you about the NBA, because I opened on, like, the readiness of moving away from LeBron and how the NBA media covers the NBA. But I do want to suggest something to you before we get to the three-day weekend. Have you delved into the Bama Rush documentary on HBO Max?
Haven't seen
it
yet.
Max.
No, I played the trailer when it came out. What's it called?
It's just Bama Rush. Bama Rush.
No, I've seen the trailer, and it's funny, I was at Red Koi the other day, and do you ever eat at Red Koi?
I love Red Koi. Best sushi in the city.
Like Red Koi.
For the price.
I don't know, I'll be honest. I like sushi. I never know what to order. I mean, what I want to order is the deep fried stuff with spicy whatever on top.
You don't like the raw? Are you not?
That's what I want. I'll eat it. I like it all. I like it all.
Okay.
But I never know. I had the raw too, but I mean, deep fried is delicious. Basically, anything. Yeah. If you take anything and you put it in deep fryer, it will be improved.
Do you mind if I get a quick sidebar in?
I never know what to order. And in fact, the other night I texted my ex and my wife and I asked her what we typically, because I never know which rolls to get. I like them all, whatever else. And so I can't judge whether it's the best sushi in the city. It's just not my area expertise. I like them all. I do like the fried rice, though, there. So
oh,
you
great.
Get a couple of rolls, get the house fried rice, and you're all set. But I was there, and the woman, the table next to me, there were two young women, and they were talking. One of them went to Alabama, was in a sorority. One of them went somewhere else, was a sorority. And they were talking about it. And the woman who was in Alabama in the sorority, she said, yeah, you know, we'll survive. I'm sure it'll be fine. It's going to be overblown. Like, they're kind of bracing themselves at Alabama for this, because it's obviously going to be a caricature in the worst parts of whatever else. It has dropped, and you've started to watch it?
Yes, I watched the whole thing last night.
Oh, really?
Yes, Adam. It's an hour and 40 minutes. And it is phenomenal.
It's not episodic. It's just one hour, 40-minute thing. Okay.
Yeah, learning through it. But I do have to get a sidebar on Red Koi really quick. I'm sorry. Florida and Wolf Chase is what I usually go for. I have a buddy who always talks to me about the damn Chick-fil-A roll. That's not a sushi roll, man. It's fried chicken, and they put, like, the mayo over top of it like it's Chick-fil-A. And they try to – I always tell him,
there's
I'm
no
not ordering
roll?
That. No, there's chicken in it. There is fried chicken within this roll. I mean, sure, it's probably good, but why would I go get sushi and order fried chicken inside of my roll?
We got some. I don't know. Anyway, very good. It's fair. We agree. Red Koi is good.
Yes.
Anyway, but we also so the hour and 40 minutes. Hour 40 minutes well spent?
Honestly, yes. I learned about Rush consultants. I could not believe that these girls and their families hire women to come in, and they make good money per hour and everything, about how to talk to people, what to avoid, how you conversate with people, just so they can get into the sorority of their choice. They pay them. Also, the machine part of it,
they're not able to get into it.
The machine, it's Theta Nu Epsilon, and it's basically, it is the hidden power of Alabama as a whole. They control elections. They control everything.
It's the old boys network, except for it's not all boys.
Yes, but their student government people always tend to win. There's only been very few times in history where their student government candidates do not win. And they have been, they had to shut down student government from 93 to 96 because they had so many incidents with the machine going after people
because
in their homes.
The machine doesn't call itself the machine. That's the
Theta Nu Epsilon is what they call themselves. Theta Nu Epsilon.
Is that the sorority?
No, it's just that's what they call them. That's all I could decide.
Okay.
They call themselves, I mean, I everybody knows them as the machine in Alabama.
A couple things. One is on the sorority consultants, whatever they're called, it doesn't really surprise me. If you stop and think about it, if you right now want to be a baseball player, you don't just go sign up for your little league team and play baseball and hope you're better than the next guy and whatever else. At some point, people are serious. You get a
at age six, you get a hitting coach, you know, whatever else. My kids, because I had aspirations for my kids. They weren't to make the major leagues. I was sized up early. That wasn't whatever. My kids had, honestly, private ACT tutors, right? Like got them private ACT tutors and private whatever. Whatever your aspirations are, if you have money now, any kind of money or any kind of resources or any kind of aspirations for your kids, and this is pathetic, by the way. I agree. This is all pathetic. What you can do is you can buy experts to help your kids achieve that. Like there are lots of people who will write college essays for your kids to help get, they won't say that that's what they're doing, but who will essentially consult, you know, to try to get your kids in college. And for a lot of these people, if it is that important to them, both in terms of their college experience, but then if you're a member of whatever the sorority is, you are a member of that forever, right? Those are your friends forever. They come, you know, whatever, they're your network forever. It actually kind of stands to reason that if you got all the money in the world and you can get someone to help you, just like if you've got a wedding consultant.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And someone to help. Like, what? Well, why not? Why not? It's pathetic that we do this, but that's what we are now. Like, and it also goes to show how uneven the playing field is in this universe for people, because some people can afford to have a hitting coach or an ACT tutor or a sorority consultant or whatever it is. And other people are just scrapping to get the money together, barely working a second two jobs to pay their tuition.
But what I will say, the thing that just jumps off the page about Rush consultants is they like the messages, the teachings of them is, okay, let's go to the store. Let's go buy you some dresses. I'll tell you which ones are going to impress these girls you're going to meet Rush Week. Also, they're telling them
different than the pageant consultants.
No, it's not. But like,
America?
Also the conversing part where they're like, well, you can't talk about your political. Don't talk about your political affiliation. Don't talk about boys. Don't talk about booze. And they're just telling them how to impress people that they want to impress to get into a certain sorority. And I think, like, okay, you get to that sorority and you've been putting these impressions into these girls' ears this whole time. Do you actually feel that way? It's more of an act.
Obviously, the whole thing is revolting.
Yes.
It's also true, if you talk to Drew Hill, who went to Alabama, and I think this is true at most colleges, it is a picture of the top 1% at a university. Mm-hmm. So in terms of wealth, privilege, all of that stuff, right? It's not actually an accurate picture of the University of Alabama or the student body at the University of Alabama any more than, I remember when The Social Network came out and the movie about the Facebook movie, right? And I mean, that shot at Harvard is life at Harvard, like whatever. I literally, when I went to Harvard, we were, before there was a company Facebook, we were given books that had everyone's picture in them, and we started, that was the Facebook. Like, it was literally we have a Facebook. I have a Facebook. Yeah, it's like all the other freshmen, pictures of their faces, and how to get in touch with them and stuff. That's where the word Facebook came from. But anyway, that picture of Harvard, I did not recognize. I didn't know that university. It was people in finals clubs wearing tuxedos doing cocaine.
Yeah.
I never even put on a suit when I was at Harvard. I never saw cocaine. I never, like, it's just, it was just, it was the, whatever the name, the twins, those two redheaded twins who yeah. rode crew. And, like, it was the beautiful people. My son who goes to Duke, it's the same thing. He said, like Jerry Seinfeld's kid goes to Duke, or did, or whatever, or Rob Lowe's kid goes to Duke, and then there's the basketball players. And those people live in a universe that has almost nothing to do with the universe of most kids who are just, you know, trying to get decent grades and get a job and whatever else. And I think whatever this, I will watch it, I think.
Yes, entertaining.
It's entertaining. But
it's not the actual image.
It's not representative of the right. university.
Right. No, I'm with you. I'm with you there. But I'm telling you, get into it. You have to carve out 2 hours, though. You do have to carve out 2 hours for it. But talking with Jeff Calkins, he is the columnist of the Daily Memphian, also from the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, I opened the show today because I saw Chris Mannix, who I think is a good writer at SI, but he was talking about the Nuggets and how he struggles with writing about them or talking about them because he doesn't find them very entertaining. But it always brings back to me what the NBA, and I think a lot of NBA media, I'm not saying everybody, has latched onto, and that's LeBron and superstardom, and there's sort of a lack of parity involved with what the NBA has followed since LeBron's been in the league. What's your thought, a little more abstract, of like, where do you think the NBA is in regards to life without LeBron?
Well, I don't even know just life without LeBron. I think the NBA, for whatever reason, you know, back when it was struggling in the 1970s, they sort of it decided we are going to be a superstar driven league and we are going to focus on the superstars. And the truth of the matter is that people have generally applauded the NBA for that because they contrast it to baseball, right? And they say, baseball, we don't even know who these people are. Like, how come they don't market their stars? Basketball, it was Bird and Magic, and then it was Jordan,
yep.
And then, you know, LeBron and there have been other stars who come along the way, you know, whether you're going to count Dirk or whether you're going to count Dwight, whatever, who, you know, it has been a star vehicle. That's what it is. And I see people, listen, I find Denver immensely entertaining and I root
Me
for
too.
Small market teams. I like watching Jokic play. I enjoy watching that team play. But it's weird to me that people will talk about the fact that people don't really care about basketball. They just care about famous people as like a criticism, right?
Mm-hmm.
All they care about is fame and LeBron and they don't really care about, they're not basketball purists. Well, guess what? No, most of America is not. Like, most of America doesn't give a flip about, you know, understanding the analytics of basketball. That's not what, you know, we're talking about appealing to the mainstream. And it's just weird for me to see this now level as a criticism against the NBA, where it typically has been seen as an act of genius compared to baseball, which quote unquote doesn't market its stars. And so doesn't have superstars like the NBA. Now the fact that there is a focus on superstars in the NBA is seen as a bad thing instead of actually something that has been generally interpreted as an act of genius on the part of David Stern and that league.
Right, but what I have noticed and where we're headed, we, you know, think about Jokic and Luka and Victor Wembanyama, foreign superstars, what they've been able to accomplish. I think some people that I would sort of term NBA purists, if you will, have been a little bit picky and choosy about trying to let those guys be the face of the league for similar reasons that we have the conversations about Shohei Ohtani and Ronald Acuna and everything else with the MLB. I think there's more parallels there than we give credit for.
I think one of the things that's weird is that I wouldn't actually have thought of Chris Mannix. Like, Stephen A. Smith, yes, he just likes to talk about LeBron. Right? Like ESPN, uh-huh. broadly speaking, likes to focus on LeBron and the Lakers and big market and all that stuff. I was a little surprised that Chris Mannix said that because there's NBA media is not, it's not monolithic.
No, you know? I understand.
There's NBA media that is all I want to talk about is the star NBA media. And then there's a huge part of NBA media that is, I really want, and a newer part of it, that I really want to break down the guts of basketball. You know, Chris Harrington belongs to this part, but John Hollinger does too. And so Zach Lowe is more like that, even though he's at ESPN, a deep appreciation for basketball at a granular level. And so I don't think that group has any kind of bias against small markets or international players or whatever. I think actually there tends to be a real appreciation in that group for those players as compared to, you know, just the talkers who always want to talk about LeBron because they know that's where the clicks and the eyeballs and whatever else come. I am interested going forward in we've been through this era of, yeah, it's all about LeBron. It's mm-hmm. about whether LeBron is either in Miami or Cleveland or LA, that's the center of the NBA universe. And so I am fascinated by what it's going to look like after he's gone. And particularly if San Antonio suddenly, you're right, like that's right. not a place. Even when San Antonio was good, no one was interested in San Antonio. Like people would grumble that the Tim Duncan and the Spurs were back in the finals. So I think it'll be fascinating to see where the center of gravity will be and what it will look like when LeBron leaves.
Yeah, and I think, again, NBA is built on star power, and I think premier matchups to a certain extent. I think there's a lot of people that would argue parity is not what the NBA has been built on. But I look at this year's playoffs, and I know we've had a premier matchup with the Lakers and the Warriors. But with the parity we've seen, you had a 7 seed, which happened to be the Lakers, and an 8 seed in the conference finals, 8 seed likely going to be in the NBA finals. Ratings are better than they've been in years with the parity we've seen, right? Like, I think there's something to be said about that.
Is it the parity, or is it also – we've had the best of all worlds. In terms of – listen, I love the fact that my big complaint against the NBA all these years was we knew what was going to happen before the season began. Right? Yeah. You could tell me – I'll give you 4 teams, and I'll be able to identify two of them are going to be in the finals, and I can probably tell you the champion. Like, for the longest time, it felt like that. And now it's not at all like that. And – as someone who supports and likes to see the success of small market teams and likes the suspense that comes from not knowing who's going to be good, that's been tremendous. It does so happen, though, that we have had that, the incredible parity that we've had this year.
And
plus, we've had Golden State go on a run. We've had the Lakers go on a run. We've had the Knicks go on a run. We've had the Celtics go on a run. We've had the Heat go on a run. Like, it's also, it's been a perfect storm for the NBA. Obviously, we haven't had a tremendously competitive conference final series, but beyond that, it's everything they could have wanted so far.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But appreciate it, Jeff. Great stuff as always.
See you, Gabe. Yep.
That's Jeff Calkins, columnist of the Daily Memphian. Also, Jeff Calkins Show 9-11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, we have some NFL news and notes to get to. And it has to do with a former Memphis kicker. Riley Patterson is on the move today. And also, the Raiders have had a couple of not-so-good news drops today. Darren Waller has spoken up to the media about him having a say-so now that he's with the Giants. And Jimmy G, surgery. We'll talk about that on the other side. Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Feel is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me here. All you want to do is use me.
It's the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I have to tell you, it is a cold world even when it's hot outside. Cold world even when it's hot outside. Today, one of my former teammates, former Memphis kicker, great, absolute great, University of Memphis, the kicker after Jake Elliott, still followed in those footsteps fantastically considering who he was following. But Riley Patterson, for a while, looked like he was going to get cut released by the Jaguars after last year, 30 for 35, as far as his field goals were concerned, only missed one extra point, 53 long. He hit the field goal in the playoffs to complete the great comeback, the 29-0 comeback that the Jags had over the Chargers in the first round. They ended up winning a playoff game for the first time in a long time. But the Jags signed Brandon McManus, longtime kicker for the Broncos, really, I mean, a vet. And they were going to completely cut Riley. They end up trading him to the Lions, back to where he originally was, for a late second or a late round pick the next couple years. I didn't see exactly which pick it was. But damn, man, like the life of a kicker in the NFL, it's so shaky. It's always so shaky. And I've talked to Riley about it. And I've heard from around the block, like he's not sort of he didn't lock himself down in Jacksonville in that way, still renting, doing those type of things. But that is a tough life to lead. But he has made some good money and he's made some good kicks, so he still looks like he's going to stay around.
I hope he does. Yeah, it's always fun when you get to see Tigers in the league, especially when they're successful. It's like, you know, like
kickers,
you said, though,
a lot of kickers, man. It's kicker cold you. World. Is there any damn argument that Memphis is kicker you?
No, actually, a few years ago.
I mean, it's got to be.
Like, it was like 5 or 6 years ago, I made a graphic for 929 calling Memphis kicker U.
It is kicker U.
Yeah.
I mean, Gotti, and then you had Jake, and now you have Riley, at least recently. I can't think of anybody who's had a run like that. I mean, there isn't. And also, if you want to go punter, Joe Doyle trying to make his way with the Texans.
Hey.
Specialist you?
Specialist you? Certainly so.
Yeah. I can get behind that. But in other news, Raiders news, Jimmy G, today there was a report out on ESPN that he underwent foot surgery, and he think when he signed with the Raiders in March, so after he signed in March, he finally got his foot surgery, and we finally got this news drop because he didn't show up to OTAs. And they have said that the timeline is completely unknown, paid him 3 years, $72 million to essentially either get them to the playoffs or be a placeholder for a few years. They said they think he'll be ready by the season. But could you imagine? And this is why the Raiders are relatively unserious. You trade away a guy in Derek Carr who gave you a whole lot and wanted to stay in Las Vegas for a long time. I think he'll make the Saints better. I don't know how much better. I don't necessarily think they're a Super Bowl contender because they got Derek Carr. They'll be better, though. But you trade away a guy in Derek Carr who gave you so much, and you bring in a guy in Jimmy G who has shown you, even with the best roster, arguably, in the NFL that he had with the 49ers, best defense in the NFL, he couldn't make extra throws. He couldn't make that one throw to get over top of the Chiefs when he had Emmanuel Sanders wide open down the middle. You go and get that guy, and you let him get a surgery right after he signs with you, and you don't know if he's going to be available. And like the Raiders last year with Josh McDaniels, he's trying to make it the Patriot way there. He's trying to bring in guys that he's familiar with. Brings in Jacoby Myers this offseason. Offloads Darren Waller. I'll get to him in a second. But you do all these things, and right now you're up in the air. You're like, everything's up in the air, and you were only a 6-win team a year ago. The Raiders operate so unseriously, it doesn't make any sense to me. And you go get Tyree Wilson in the draft. Fine pick, I guess, considering where you were in the draft, but do you expect him to make an immediate difference? You have Max Crosby, you had Chandler Jones, and now you try to get another edge in there to make something happen. Your secondary still stinks. You don't have a linebacking core. Your offensive line's no good. And the only redeeming quality about your offense right now, and you don't know about Jimmy G, the only redeeming quality is Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs. You're in this no man's land when you're talking about the Vegas Raiders that I can't understand. The way they've operated is just so, so unserious. And I know our man John Martin doesn't like to hear that.
Yeah, I was about to say that, you know, what is Devontae Adams thinking today? He's probably not super happy.
I mean, a week ago?
Right.
A week ago, he said, I just have to – I'm along for the ride. I don't necessarily think this is the best way to go about our future. Because, I mean, you get rid of – the reason he's likely in Las Vegas is because of the relationship he had with Derek Carr. He has another 1,500-yard year, gets to first-team All-Pro. He feels, you know, that he has finally gotten to those heights even without Aaron Rodgers. But at the same time, the reason he's there, theoretically in my mind, is gone. The guy that probably recruited him to get to Vegas is out the door. So, like, who's he leaning on? Is he leaning on Josh McDaniels to get him the ball at a consistent rate? Is he leaning on Jimmy G to make that happen? It doesn't seem like he's overly happy and enthused with the situation right now.
Well, the Patriot way goes even deeper because the backup is Brian Hoyer.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. And this is, I know it's a copycat league, but you cannot copy what the Patriots were able to accomplish all those years. That was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick being the best coach, best quarterback ever. That's what that was.
How many yards do you think Brian Hoyer threw for last year? just guess. Give me just a guess.
Zero?
A little bit more.
10.
37.
What a guy.
QBR 26.
Did he throw a pick?
No. Zero touchdowns, zero picks. Okay. It's like he threw six passes.
But, I mean, in the end of the day, the Raiders, thinking back to last offseason, there was a lot of hope about what they could accomplish. All that hope right now is dashed. I mean, we're looking at a potential rebuild, and now Jimmy G, who I think is a serviceable quarterback, is going to be dealing with a rehab stint off of a injured, surgically repaired foot going into the season. And you expect him to feed Devontae Adams and keep Devontae Adams happy? The operation there, and we should have known this going into it because Josh McDaniels has had his issues trying to lead a NFL franchise. We should have known going into it. I sort of referred to that going into it, but everything around Josh McDaniels and how he tries to run things and Mark Davis, it's been proven correct, and this is just another example. Now, Darren Waller also spoke up today. We know that he's been traded off to the Giants, and he is no longer a Raider. He mentioned to reporters today that he feels like now with the Giants, his opinion's being valued. And he went on to say, as a player, I feel like a lot of places I've gone, you're told to do things a certain way, and you do those things. But here it's like they ask a lot of questions. They want to know what you're thinking, what you want to do more, end quote. And by the way, him saying, I feel like a lot of places I've gone, you've been a Raider. It's all we know you for there, Darren. Like, respectfully, we know who you're talking about. It's John Gruden and then Josh McDaniels. But the Raiders, it's clear that I think as we move farther down the path this year into the season and maybe into next offseason, if they retain Josh McDaniels, like, how many free agents, how are they going to be able to rebuild, retool this roster with all of this negative press and the way they're operating right now? It just doesn't seem like a realistic possibility.
Well, that's why it seems like with that pick this year, even though it was a good pick, it just felt like they needed to get more value there considering everything going on. Like, they really needed a building block at number seven.
It wasn't your biggest position of need
right,
at that moment, right? Like, yeah, you need more defensive line help. You need an edge rusher that's going to replace Chandler Jones, and I get that. But your secondary has been one of the worst in the NFL for a while now. Your O-line is miserable. I mean, you need to replace a tight end. They went and got Matthew Mayer, so maybe that works out. But it's just, you need more. And especially if you're competing with a team at the top of the AFC West, which is the Chiefs. And if you're if you're dealing with the Chargers everywhere, if you're dealing with that division is too good to operate as badly as they're operating. And they moved to Vegas with the intention of being better, and it didn't work out.
It feels like the Raiders the last few years, and I'm so sorry, John, but it feels like they have been one step forward, two steps back.
Yep.
Like, every time they make progress, something happens to where they go two steps back, and they have to make up for that. Or they have a misstep, like, you know, Wilson at number seven, and it's like, you're right there, and it's like you had it. Like, you just made the wrong decision. Over and over again.
Alex Leatherwood in the first round. Like, yeah, there's a lot of missteps that they've had, and it just continues to add up, and that's where we're at. It's where we're at with them. Now, small talk is on the way, and I have to tell you about Bama Rush, what I learned, and some of the nastiness. I know, again, we talked with Jeff. I don't think it completely tells you what Alabama is as an institution, but it certainly tells you about the Rush week and then what goes into that. Also, succession talk. Brian Cox, who plays Logan Roy, who plays the patriarch of the Waystar Royko family. The actual actor has spoken up on how he does not feel he was treated fairly in his character being killed off. And he actually hatched a plan for how to keep himself around that likely is probably not going to be followed, but he hatched a plan nonetheless. We'll be back with Small Talk on the Gabe Kunz on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kunz Show.
And we've already covered it a little bit, but I have to hop into this Bama Rush doc. An hour, 41 minutes of pure chaos, let's be honest about it. Directed by Rachel Fleet. I have talked about it several times today. The Rush consultants, I just can't get it. I can't understand it. I know Jeff tried to rationalize it, but basically telling you how to converse so you impress upon people the sorority of your choice. And I have the question of, okay, you impress the right things upon these girls in the sorority. What happens when you're actually talking to them in real life situations and they realize that maybe the things you said in your rush, it's not actually what aligns with you? There's that, but also the machine is probably the biggest conversation around that. Theta Nu Epsilon, they ended up shutting down student government in 1993 to 1996 because of attacks. There was literally knives being pulled on people that were not the machine student government candidate at their house. They had to shut down student government because of that.
Wow.
And I've heard some stories about the machine at Alabama, but it seems like something you do not want to cross. You don't want to cross paths. You don't want to have those issues there.
No, you do not.
It's scary stuff. It's scary stuff. But also, I do want to address, there's a bunch of random TikTok accounts that you'll see if you watch it at the end of it that are accusing Rachel Fleet of hidden mics that they gave to, they said there was 20 people. First of all, there's not 20 people that they, 20 girls that are going through Rush Week that they even interview. They said there was 20 people that are using mics that they have hidden in their, you know, wristlets and bracelets and buttons, and that never happened. So she was getting a lot of threats, like actual threats via the machine and whoever it may be. There's a bunch of random TikTok accounts going after the director, Rachel Fleet, who did a really good job, really good job. She used her personal story about her alopecia and trying to impress upon other people using wigs, and she finally took off the wig. She felt free, but she was trying to sort of draw a comparison between her and her wig from alopecia and the girls going through Rush. They're trying to paint a picture of who they are instead of being who they are. And I think there's something to be said about that.
SEC sororities and fraternities is a interesting place to be. I mean, I have experience. I went through the Rush process at the University of Tennessee. I am a Lambda Chi at the University of Tennessee. I've seen it firsthand what it does to girls during Rush Week. I mean, my wife was heavily involved with University of Memphis sorority stuff too, and it is it's tough to see what that does to young women sometimes, and I think that they get treated very unfairly. They're judged way too harshly. It starts before them, like junior year of high school. They have to start thinking about it. It's an insane amount of pressure for ultimately something that should not be taken this seriously.
No. Just also, trying to make
I have a question for you. Were they – so I haven't seen it yet – were there blurred faces in the documentary?
No.
Then what hidden mics? What are they talking about?
I don't know. There were no hidden mics. That's the whole point.
Because I was like, that means that they
made up rumors to try to persuade people to not interviews with Rachel Fleet.
Because if the cameras were there and there's no blurred faces, it means people signed releases.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I have to move to another direction real quick. Succession. Brian Cox, who plays Logan Roy, he thinks he was written out of Succession too early, which I don't get. I don't quite understand that. Obviously, he was killed in episode 3. He died in episode 3. But he says, I was fine with it ultimately, but I did feel a bit rejected. All the work I've done, and finally I'm going to end up as an ear on a carpet of a plane. And then he had a thought about how to keep himself around. Get this. He said, I still believe this. Maybe Logan isn't dead. This could be part of an elaborate ruse to find out, well, if you think about it, from Logan's point of view, he has to find out how are his children going to behave when he dies, what will happen, and the only way to do that is to fake your own death, and actually at some distant point, he's observing the chaos that is following. If that is the idea, that makes the whole series unserious.
Yeah, no thank
Immediately.
You. Immediately. No thank you.
Brian, I'm glad you're not writing it. I appreciate you as Logan Roy, but good Lord, I'm so glad you're not writing the script.
He's a bit of a sarcastic, tongue-in-cheek guy. I wonder if he was messing with
it. I hope.
When you read it to me, I'm like, I think he was maybe messing with that person. Because he said that he loves the last season. which is odd.
But I hope.
No, that would suck.
That would be awful.
Yeah. It takes away everything that happened last episode.
It would be miserable. Now, we have to go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of bets. We're going to go around the sports world in general. Joe Fortenbaugh from The Daily Wager, from Joe and Amber on ESPN Radio. He is next on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.